It's a crazy head teacher and a science teaching sidekick now in our series premiere. It's Detention with Mr. Dodd.
Soundtrack Radio.
You're sad for listening to this.
No, I am not sad. Disclaimer. The Detention with Mr. Dodd series contains strong language and scenes of a controversial nature.
Detention with Mr. Dodd.
This is the first episode where I met that toe rag, after 10 years of not meeting him.
Detention with Mr. Dodd.
Episode 1, young man.
May I ask, kind sir, in which direction is Neston?
It is 10,001 miles that way, north-northeast. Just follow that road across Europe, then take a left, another left, a right, another left, straight up, turn left. Avoid the dog piss and the offensive science teacher graffiti on the wall so it doesn't piss you off. Then walk about 8 hours straight on and there you are. The old key.
Oh yes, Park Gate. Neston isn't far from there. You could even spit. Many kind thanks, dear stranger.
My pleasure.
Saddam Hussein's reign is over. The world is devastated. Most of it is now just a desert, and the UK looks like it's been scorched by a continental kettle. Hello, I am the narrator of this series. My name is John Frederick Michael Allen Richard Stephen Joseph McIntyre, but you can call me Mac. Please do not be fooled by my impersonation of Terry Wogan. I hate BBC Radio 2 and that boring old coot in the mornings, but I happen to sound like him. Have you got a problem with that? Well, I couldn't care two monkeys' mothers what you think. I am the narrator and I am God of this series. I just want all of you viewers to know that throughout every episode, whenever I make an appearance, you will hear this particular sound. You heard that? If you didn't, tough, because I'm not going to allow you to hear it again, you clueless louts. Anyway, on to the story. A year has passed since Saddam's demise, and despite the devastation of the world, life goes on, and things slowly began to get back to normal. Mr. Dodd was once a distinguished science teacher of a small town high school. Today, after walking across treacherous deserts over thousands of miles of Eurasia, he arrives back in Neston, Cheshire, England, Europe. He has reapplied for his old science teaching job. He is being interviewed by his former boss, a middle-aged Mr. Peach. A miserable fat man who enjoys his pies and leisure time marking homework. The town of Neston once again enters Mr. Dodd's eyesight. He doesn't quite remember it that way.
What in the hell is this? Where's the church? Where's the park with the scallies? Where's the train station? And indeed, where's the high school?
Right. Here we're using porter cabins. Come right on in.
Mr. Peach, is that you?
Yes, indeed it is. Dodd, I hardly recognise you after all those years. How are you, my old chum?
A bit worse for wear, I'm afraid.
Good. What have you been doing with your life?
Trust me, you wouldn't want to know.
I have heard the Saddam Hussein madness saga, you know. I'm not an imbecile.
Did you like my character?
Can I be honest with you?
No.
Would you like a cream pie?
Why, yes, I wouldn't mind such a nice delicacy. They were rare in Iraq. Most of the time we had to dig them up from the sewers.
Well, I couldn't live without them. How do you think I've managed for so many years looking like this?
Mr. Peach points to his stomach.
Now, you're here today because you've requested for your job back, yes?
That's right.
Well, according to your CV or resume, which is exactly the same as the copy I've got in my office dated 10 years ago, I can't remember why I accepted your application last time, so what the hell? You're in.
Woo-hoo.
But please be aware that things are completely different to how they were when you were last working here. For one, Neston was underwater for a good length of time, Two, kids nowadays are as tough as a stone quarry. Your job as a science teacher is more like being a snake charmer, Mr. Dodd.
Let's not be too formal, Stephen. Call me Brian.
Yes. Okay, now, back to what I was saying. Three, in particular, you might want to watch your back around four particular students. First of all, there's Bruno. He's also known as the bully. The only science experiment he will do for you is bashing another kid's face in. Then there is Timmy, also known as the nerd. He can be 10 pains in the ass, who most of the time will interrupt your sentences. Then there is Billy, also known as the dumbbell. The last time he knew where he was in another lifetime. He is a dumb shit who never pays attention. Don't tell him I said that or you're fucking fired again, Brian. And finally, there is Graham, also known as the no-show. He never turns up for school, and when he does, it's once in a green moon. Blue moon. Some of the other teachers said they've never heard of him.
Jesus Christ. Did you think of all those nicknames yourself?
Mr. Field thought them up for your information.
Oh, Patrick. He still works here. I thought he'd be retired by now.
Yes, he needs the money. You only get a pension now when you're 75. He did for a while stop working here because his house got flooded. We both know why, don't we? Saddam.
Saddam.
Me again, Mac the narrator. It's what I do. Anyway, the next day, Dodd wakes up out of bed fresh as a daisy, ready to begin his day teaching class. Science class.
Good morning, youngsters. I am your new teacher who has worked here previously. But none of you were actually born 10 years ago. That would have been scientifically impossible. My name is Brian Dodd, but you will address me as Mr. Dodd at all times. Do you understand?
Good morning, Brian!
Glad you understand. Now on to today's lecture. First of all, the register. Let me see. Bruno?
Fuck off, mate!
Mind your language, please, Bruno, you fuckface. Timmy?
Yes, my good man. As you can see, I'm sat here presently at table number 5, sitting exactly 90 degrees from the blackboard.
Shut up!
That is politically incorrect, young man. You must not say blackboard. You must say chalk depository. Right, well, we know you're here. Billy.
What? Where am I?
This is a science room in Neston High School. I would appreciate it if you would pay more attention to my ramblings and actually try to learn something. Do you even remember what I said my name was?
What's her name?
Oh, God. Just sit quietly and read your textbook that I just flung at you. Okay, and where is Graham?
As we can plainly see, he is currently vacant from his seat. The whereabouts of his person can therefore not be established, and God, it hurts me!
Okay, and I see that the rest of you are here. Now, have you all done your homework?
You haven't fucking said any fucking homework yet, you stupid old workshop!
Well, you should have done it anyway. And could you stop saying fuck so much, Bruno? It's really starting to get on my spectacles.
No, you fuck the shut up!
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Bully, but may I put out on a small grammatical error that you just made? It was quite embarrassing, but I think you'll discover that the expression shut comes before your choice of expletive fuck in this type of situation.
Timmy!
Oh, wait! My perfectly shaped philtrum, my nose is centrifugally challenged!
Stop bleeding all over the desk, boy. If you spill just a drop more, I'm going to make you lick it up as part of your afternoon drink.
At that moment, Mr. Peach enters the lab. He is astounded at what he sees.
What the fuck is going on in here, Brian?
You see, Stephen,
Timmy's nose is bleeding! Pilly's forehead has been gashed! Bruno is laughing hysterically at the mayhem in this room! And Graham is AWOL as usual! I've got just one thing to say to you, Dodd! Good job! Keep up the good work! I couldn't handle these well-behaved truants better myself. Now I'm going to go and make arrangements for your raise.
And with that, Mr. Dodd completes his first day back teaching at Neston High School. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please join us again for the next episode of Mr. Dodd's Adventures.
Characters in this episode do not represent people in real life.
Outtakes.
Good morning, Brian.
Outtakes.
That is politically correct, young man.
In this episode, he had the gall to attend a science fair without my permission and behind my back.
Please be quiet and face the front, as episode 2, What a Bad Day, is about to proceed. Good morning, pupils.
Good morning, Ryan.
I hope you all had a good weekend. I know I did. Ken Dodd, no relation to me, came round to dinner and told me some of his classic jokes over a cup of tea and biscuits with cheese niblets. I hope to be a comedian myself one day. I know I'm a boring old fart to some of you, but quite frankly, I'm way above you in every aspect. So get out your fucking textbooks and listen to my goddamn vocal cords.
Sir?
Yes, Billy?
Page 12 is ripped and has piss stains on it.
Yes, I'm quite aware of that. You've got off quite lucky, as my teacher's edition textbook has shit stains on it. But I just wipe it off with my hand and carry on. So my advice to you would be to shut up and imagine page 12 is there. Or sit with the nerd. I mean, Timmy.
Yes, my fellow classmate. There are seats situated directly next to my person, but please be warned that Bruno has placed chewing gum on the surface. That has made it unnecessarily adhesive.
Oh, for goodness sake. Let me show you how to deal with that the old-fashioned way.
Mr. Dodd peels off the gum from the seat with his bare hands and puts it up to his mouth.
Vanilla flavour. I'll keep that for after class. Meanwhile, everyone get the hell on with your work.
But sure, I must express myself. You haven't said any. Or put us in your desired direction, yeah?
Don't answer back, young man. I was getting to that. Right, okay. I want each of you to read Einstein's Theory of Relativity. And I want you to come up with a new version.
20 minutes later...
This is too hard. I don't know what to do. Can you help me?
Help you? I'm the teacher here. You are the student. I thought I made my position perfectly clear.
I don't fucking get this!
Just get on with it, Bruno, or you'll be in detention with Mr. Peach.
Come over and meet me, you four-eyed wankshaft!
Have it your way, Bruno. Come over, I shall. Let me see your work. What does that say?
Einstein!
No, it doesn't, you insolent young man. It says Einstein. Because you've spelt it with E-Y-E.
Least I know how to spell I. I learned that in English with Mr. Field. He was cool, whereas you're an old japside.
I won't have language like that. Right, get in the corner. And don't forget to put your Ben Dunce hat on.
I'm already sitting there. That's where my desk is. Are you blind?
When I haven't got my glasses on, yes. How are you getting on, Billy?
I've written my name, but I'm stuck.
Let me see that. You haven't even spelt Billy right.
How do you spell it?
B-I-L-L-I-E, or is it Y? Now, do you know how to spell detention?
What's a detention?
You'll soon find out, my young chum. It's where you're off to right after this class. Because you've wasted my time today. Now, I appeal to everyone.
Get on with your work. I want a new hypothesis for a new theory of relativity by the time the clock strikes three. In a few seconds' time, I want all of your heads buried in the books. And if I see one more raised hand, the whole lot of you will be shipped to detention.
Sir, I believe you mean hypothesis.
Is my name Mr. Dodd? Or am I just some taller pupil?
1 second after Mr. Dodd finishes his speech, Timmy raises his hand.
What the hell do you want, Timmy?
I have, in a manner of speaking, finished, sir.
Have you indeed? Would you mind informing me of why it was necessary to disrupt my class?
I am proved in my findings that Einstein really was quite clueless. Quite challenged in the grey matter when it came to his presumption concerning the theory of relativity.
This is marvellous, Timmy. This work is quite remarkable, I must say. But how dare you insult Einstein? How dare you upstage me in my own class? You young whippersnapper! You're too clever for your own good! See you in detention. Have you all finished?
No!
Yes.
Do my ears deceive me? I must be dreaming. Did I not set work in the expectation of it being finished by the end of class?
It's too fucking hard!
I didn't understand.
That, young men, is not my concern! Well, it is my understanding that everybody in this class is to report to detention. This has been a disgraceful day. So please, all go to classroom 5B in single file. Whilst you are quietly leaving the class, I shall wipe the chalk depository clean with my window cleaner.
Fuck off! We're not going to detention! You can't make us!
Why ever not, my charming teenager?
Because I'm sitting on your fucking blackboard! Come on, everyone!
You say chalk depository, young man!
Mr. Dodd is forced to succumb under the weight of his own blackboard, whilst the other students sit on it.
Dodd, what in the heaven hell is going on in here?
Sorry, sir. It's just that I've been besieged.
Am I expected to take that as meaning that you have lost control of this class, Dodd?
Just temporarily, sir. I'm sure I can negotiate with them.
This is not what I expect from my newly re-employed teachers! Get them under control, Dodd. By the time that my butt resurfaces in here in 5 minutes' time, or you will be writing lines.
Well, it's certainly getting interesting now in the story, isn't it? What do you think happened?
Run that by me again, would you, Stephen? I have to write what?
Whilst I am privileged enough to work in Neston High School, I will be nothing but an exemplary teacher.
And I have to write that 100 times.
Damn right.
On the blackboard.
That's a chalk depository, Dodd. Don't be so racist, or you'll be suspended with and without pay.
Can I use the multi-chalk writer?
Absolutely not.
I'm usually quite a level-headed guy, but not this time. I have to get those students back for embarrassing me in front of Peach. I mean, Stephen.
Later on in the next class.
So, students, in our last class, things got off to a bad start, but today I can assure you that things are going to run somewhat smoother. You are going to write for me a science dissertation to be entered in at the Royal Science Academy in Manchester. You will write what you're able to do in class. If you haven't completed it, you will finish it for your homework. Whilst you are doing this for me, you will not watch the Big Brother final tonight.
So most of the students begrudgingly finish the task that Mr. Dodd has set for them, and he heads off to Manchester to enter what he considers to be the best paper into the Royal Science Academy Sciences Showcase. What on earth is he thinking? A scientist speaks to Mr. Dodd.
Is this your work, Mr. Dodd? It really is quite outstanding.
Well, yes. I was the one who initiated it, And so, yes, it was me that caused this paper to be written.
Marvellous, marvellous. Well, just give me a little time to look over this. But I can quite honestly say this has impressed me so much that a little birdie told me a distinction could be heading your way, Mr. Dodd.
This is audio, but if you could see Mr. Dodd's face right now, it would be blushing and looking quite smug, just so you, the audience, know what's going on. Anyway, back to the story. A few days later, in another class...
Did you all have a good weekend? I know I did, and it was partly thanks to you lot. You have filled me with some hope that although I used to think of you all as losers, that you all could be quite useful after all.
Sorry to burst in on this class again, but I have a scientist from Manchester in my office demanding to see you, Brian.
I'm quite busy, Stephen, so bring him to the class. I will see him in here.
I'd want this to remain private if I were you.
Well, you are not me. I am a science teacher, and my class cannot be interrupted. So bring him before me.
All right. You asked for it.
Mr. Dodd, how is it going, my learned friend?
Well, I've been feeling quite the exuberant man, ever since you gave me that distinction.
Yes, about that. Is there a Timmy in this class?
Indeed there is. A bright young lad. He would have a promising future if he would just stop interjecting over my lectures.
Come up here, Timmy!
It would be a most sincere pleasure, my kind sir.
What is the distinction we gave you, Mr. Dodd?
Well, I have welded it into this golden Bunsen burner. I will treasure it for the rest of my biological life.
There you go, Timmy. Have what is rightfully yours. You earned it. Good work on your dissertation.
Why did you give him the Bunsen burner?
Your star pupil signed his name on his homework that you had the audacity to fraudulently present to us as your work, Mr. Dodd. I hereby inform you that you are disgraced and that on account of your actions, we will take steps to ban you forthwith from the Royal Science Academy for the remainder of your natural life. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Then I will bid you all a good day and leave this establishment. Oh, and Timmy, see you next weekend.
So, Mr. Dodd is, apparently, disgraced. He goes home depressed, downbeat and quite ill, I suppose, but by the next day after eating a bowl of Cheerios, he is revitalized and ready to take on another day as the head of science at Neston High School. Thank you for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next time.
Characters in this episode do not represent people in real life.
In this episode, he not only takes the day off, he goes to Chester. If you had the day off, would you go to Chester?
I wrote myself a note, excused myself, and then, with the required permission, I had the day off. Episode 3. The iPod Store, Madam. Ah, a glorious weekend off at last. Those pesky student twerps have made me so tired this week. Now I want to get out of this dusty, broken mess of a house. My laboratory needs a spring clean too, but I'm not doing that. Dodo, my annoying sister, can do it. It's her house anyway. She always ruins my experiments. One experiment happened to blow up in my face and caused me severe bleeding to my nostril hair. Anyway, I'm going to take a trip to Chester today to buy a new iPod because my current MP3 player will do everything but play music. And it's got my lecture notes on it in the form of a WAV. I can hear Bruno swearing in the background. But I don't fucking care. Right, enough of this rambling to the mantelpiece. Because I'm rather hungry at the moment. I think before going to Chester I will pay a visit to Kiki, the owner of the Village Chef, which for those of you who don't know is a fish and chip shop in Little Neston. I think it's rather good, especially when it's closed. I hope Kiki survived the war of Saddam's reign. Now where's my hat? Oh, there it is. Oh shit, not the fireplace. Fuck, my hat is in ashes.
Hello, viewers. It is me, Mac. I went to the toilet before, and now it's broken, and so I don't know when I will be going again. Anyway, enough about my day, because I'm here to talk about Dodds, in case you don't understand what's happening, because you haven't got two brains to rub together. So, what's happening? Mr. Dodd is off on a jaunt today to Chester, but as he stated before, his stomach has started to rumble, and so he is off to his favourite chippy. He arrives at opening time as he sees Kiki unlocking the door. Kiki welcomes him in.
Hello, Mr. Todd. What will your stomach require today?
Oh, just a minute, Kiki. I'm trying to decide what to choose. My eyesight is so fucking blurred, even with my four pairs of Saturday glasses on, Kiki. I still can't make out the menu. What does that say? Pineapple pizza or pepperoni pie?
Just at that moment, a reasonably sized man wedges himself through the door. He obviously hasn't tried the Atkins diet. Oh wait, it's Mr. Peach. Kiki's face lights up when he realizes it's him.
Hello, Kiki. I'll have the usual, please.
Thank you, Mr. Peach. So you want everything off the menu again, yes?
You got it.
Oh, hello, Stephen.
Ryan, what are you doing here? I hope you haven't ordered anything before me. Otherwise, I won't get everything off the menu then, will I? You will ruin my Saturday tradition.
Oh, don't worry, I haven't. In fact, I'm not even hungry anymore. The sight of you has made me sick.
What was that, Dodd?
Oh, nothing. Nothing I don't want you to hear, anyway.
Then get the fuck out of here. You're taking up my breathing space. Right, Kiki. How long will the entire menu take to make? I've got the bakery van running outside.
Oh, a conservative estimate would be about 3 hours, Mr. Peach.
Okay. I should have enough petrol.
Now, where was I? Well, Mr. Dodd finds himself going in the direction of a Mersey railway train station because he wants to go to Chester to spend his day off. However, his trouble starts as soon as he parks his larder at Hootham train station and spots that a group of people whom I will politely call chavs, because, well, scum is what they are. You have to agree with me there. Blocking his entrance to the platform. That's what they were doing.
What are you staring at? Why don't you take a picture? It will last longer. May I politely ask you boys to shunt yourselves off to a 90 degrees angle so that my person may have passage to my appointed train?
You fucking what?
My train. Your pathetically shaped bodies are blocking my rightful access.
Well, we don't want no fucking trouble, mate.
Well, get out of the way then, you uneducated louts.
And so, Dodd pushes the young hooligans out of the way with all his might. Like he is a prize fighter. The reality is that he has an extendo boxing glove in his back pocket. He bought it off eBay to ward off chavs. Especially for chavs. Just at that moment, his train arrives and he almost misses it. In fact, he only catches the train by running alongside it and jumping onto it just as the door closes, neatly trapping his coat. Therefore, he has to stand by the door for all the journey to Chester. Only when the train arrives in the old Roman city can he free himself onto a platform.
So, this is Chester. I wonder what I should do now. The last time I visited, I noticed that there was a distinct lack of science shops. I remember seeing a flower shop near one, which I bought some flowers for my mother from once. This was after she was dead. I'd forgotten how big Chester was. I could get lost here, because I don't have any sense of direction, because after all, I'm Doddery, hence the name Dodd. Okay, let's see now. I've got my torn map somewhere with me. Now, the nearest store that sells iPods is located in this direction. The store is called the iPod Store. It's next to Harrods. Oh, wait, sorry, that's in London.
God, he is boring. I'll take over from his completely monotonous voice to save us all from passing into narcolepsy. So Doddery Dodd walks on and on and on, round and round and round and round and round in circles, until he finally finds the store that he had already passed 150 times.
Excuse me, sir, does this store sell iPods?
No.
But this is the iPod store, isn't it?
Yeah, but we don't sell them. But we do have a broken one in the back we found in the wheelie bin next to McDonald's. It has every modern feature. You can alter the contrast and the brightness, but it doesn't have a degauss button.
I got a sense of deja vu. Well, if you have it, I'm sure I've heard that somewhere before. I've got a bit of a sense of deja vu. I can't remember. I got a sense of deja vu. I'm sure I heard that before when I used to work for Saddam, the dead tosser. Well, if you have it, then can I have it?
One moment. Let me see. It'll cost you a lot of money, though. That's in nothing. The store clerk gives Mr. Dodd the broken iPod, and he leaves skipping gaily away. As he makes the first step outside of the store, his iPod is nicked immediately by a passing jogger, who then casually puts it on as he is jogging along.
My broken iPod! What the fuck? It was nicked the second I left the store. I want a refund.
You didn't pay a penny for it, you idiot.
Well, what do I say to that? Not much. It wasn't my iPod. My PS3 rules. It's a 60GB one and it can play PS2 games after all. Xbox, on the other hand, completely sucks. Now, back to the story. Mr. Dodd, now quite pissed off, continues his search for yet another iPod. He asks a large group of random people in the street for directions.
Excuse me, fellow countrymen, but I'm lost in Chester. Could you possibly direct me to the nearest store where I can partake in the purchase of an iPod?
But we are Chinese!
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, we don't speak English either. We don't have a clue where anyone is.
We have tried a wheelchair next to game.
Well, thank you, fellas, for your Russian help.
But we are from Shanghai, not Vladivostok.
After that, strange conversation, Mr. Dodd finds the shop selling iPods, the Apple Store, which also sells rotten apples.
What do you fucking want? You look like an ice cream man.
I'll take that multicoloured iPod, please. I'll take the pink version, thanks.
Okay, that'll be £100, please. I forgot to add on the zero.
What? Oh dear! No OEP discount?
Get bent. I'm in a business here. And you just swanned in off the street. Jesus, just get fucked, will you?
Okay. No need for violence in your dictionary. I'll take the iPod. Whatever the cost.
Okay, that'll be £2,000.
But you said before...
Next!
Man, what a rip-off. I feel so ripped off. God, he is a rip-off. I've never been so ripped off in my ripped-off life.
Oh, no! It's you! A school teacher on a Saturday? Fuck me!
Bruno, why the hell are you out having a good time? You should be at home doing my homework that I set you yesterday. You should know that from the minute you get home until the minute you go to bed, you should be doing nothing but my homework. Do you understand me?
I never do that, mate. I go on Grand Theft Auto right through the day.
And you look it as well. You should have brought your homework with you, young man. You could have written something on the bus. Or even walking around town as you are now.
Well, that's not possible. My mother ate my homework.
Did she now? Does it look like I care a toss? No, Bruno. Because I set homework and I expect certain standards. even from students at another school who I don't even associate with. Do you understand me?
What's that you got there, sir? Looks mint.
It is mint. It cost me £2,000. So for your information, yes, it is mint.
Can I have a listen to what you have on there? It sounds boss.
Well, all right then. But please don't drop it. Or be careful with it.
You fuckwit! Detention right now! Walk your schoolboy behind into McDonald's! And put on your dunce hat! And buy me a cheeseburger! And then shut your horse mouth up!
But you told me not to be careful with it!
Your parents or legal guardians will have to pay a debt-buster loan for this criminal behaviour! If I had my notebook in front of me, I would be writing down that you are a no-good son of a...
As Mr. Dodd is ranting and raving, Bruno conveniently picks up the iPod, which incidentally isn't broken, and runs off with it.
Just wait until Monday, and you will be in detention, young man. And not just you either. When your children and your children's children started my school, I might be older than an oak tree by then, but I will still be working there. And I will ground them too. Now, how do I get out of this forsaken place and get my aging behind back to Neston?
At that moment, Dodd finds a bus pulling up beside him because he has been standing in the bus station and he is blocking all the public transport.
Driver, may I just ask you if you are perchance driving this autobus towards the direction of Neston?
Yeah, probably. Have you got a ticket?
No.
Then get on!
Just as Mr. Dodd's C-22 bus departs for the small town of Neston, it drives up Northgate Street over the Shropshire Union Canal, and we see a familiar sight. The jogger who so ruthlessly stole Dodd's crappy iPod from earlier is bored of the piece of shit already. So what does he do when he sees a canal enter his eyesight? He flings off the white plasticky piece of useless junk into the murky waters. It is exactly what I would have done, in fact. And so we end this episode in which Dodd went into the big city of Chester completely iPodless. And now he leaves it going into the sunset, back to Neston, just as iPodless as before. Oh, wait a minute. Something's happening by the side of the canal as I speak.
La la. Oh, what a glorious day. Fishing here day after day. Oh, what's this? An iPod?
Perhaps it would be kinder to throw it back.
Characters in this episode do not represent people in real life.
Bruno, what the hell are you doing out having a good time? Even from students at another...
who thought of that joke, Brian? Me.
His iPod is nicked immediately by a passing jogger, who then casually puts it on
as he is jogging along.
Total distortion there, not something.
In this episode, he returns to his teaching.
What a load
of... But to be honest, I wish he'd stayed off for this one as well.
Episode 4. How about an explosion? Do I make myself clear?
Excuse me, young man. Put your safety goggles on. But only if you've got the permission of your legal guardian.
Where were you yesterday, Brian?
I was in Chester, I do believe.
Why weren't you teaching in Neston High School?
But it was a Saturday.
I don't care. You should have been behind your desk where you belong.
Do you mind if I ask a personal question?
Go right ahead. See if it phases me.
Haven't you gained a little weight?
Well, I try to enjoy my weekends, unlike you, Dodd.
But was it really necessary to have a whole van full of food?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't like where you're going with this, Dodd. In fact, any more mouth from you on this matter, and I'll have you teaching delinquents for the rest of your days.
Oh, no. Please don't make me do that. They throw Bunsen burners right at my temple.
Well, if you would kindly watch your mouth in future, and keep your weakened observations of me to yourself, if you would be so kind.
Yes, sir.
Now, don't you have a class to teach?
Yes, I do believe I'm taking chemistry today.
Well, in that case, would you mind decluttering yourself out of my office? I am a busy man. I have people to expel, you know.
Yes, of course. I will see you later.
Hello, it's me, Mark. As we can see, Mr. Dodd shuffles his aging body down to the chemistry lab, where he is greeted with a scene that looks like something out of a horror movie. On his way down there, he meets an old flame.
Ryan Dodd, is that you? You haven't changed a bit. Well, you have.
Patrick, how are you doing? Are you still teaching English?
Yes, unfortunately, I still am. Do you want to know the one thing that I've learned through all my years of teaching on the subject?
And what is that?
Nobody gives a shit about Shakespeare.
On the contrary, where I am concerned, I have nothing but love and admiration for the man and his literary works.
What's happened to you? You were cool, man.
What is that chanting my hearing is picking up? Fuck you, Phil.
Before you stick your oar in with my class, take a listen to the commotion coming from yours.
Boring, boring, boring.
Oh my God, so there is. Thank you very much for your observation, Patrick.
What is the meaning of this? Please, cease! Who started this? I want to know now! So I can take you to Mr. Peach's office immediately! Where he will expel your anuses from this high school institution! Come on! Own up!
Wait, I don't even have to guess. It was you, wasn't it, Bruno?
Yeah? So what if it was? What are you gonna do about it?
I just said. Now get your asses up, all of you, and come with me to Mr. Peach's office. You must all follow me in single file. Hop, two, three, four. Hop, two, three, four. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Did Dodd get out of the wrong side of the bed this morning? I have never heard him shout like that before. Oh, my goodness, what a raging lunatic. Or has the Bunsen burner that probably cracked his skull affected his mind in some way? Anyway, as Mr. Dodd takes his troublesome students to Peach's office, he knocks on his office door and walks in.
Mr. Peach, sir, I have some students here who have started a food fight. A banana has just cracked my glasses.
Can't you see that I'm stuffing my face, Dodd? I'm eating an apple crumble here with chocolate syrup and mashed potato. God, those fucking students, wait!
Yes, but they're...
Silence! Just get out the horsewhip and put them in their place. I'll decide if I will expel them later. Now, if you don't mind, my 40-inch pepperoni pizza is getting cold.
Sir, I do have one more question. Is this actually your office or a refrigerator?
I said get out!
Now, students, that was a close one. You'll think next time you try to get the better of me in my own classroom. Now, I want you to get your books out and turn to page 1003. And then I want you to copy down your thoughts on the viability of uranium if it were to come into contact with plutonium. Now, I don't want you to just stare into the blackboard like confused blackbirds. I want you to get your A4 pads and write me 1,000 words on the volatility of these chemicals by the end of class. Why are you looking at me like that, Bruno?
I don't know, do I? I'm not doing that.
Have you brought your A1 paper?
Do I look fucking arsed?
Watch your language, young man.
Fuck off!
Right, that's it, Bruno. Get out.
But why, sir? What have I done wrong? Why are you sending me out?
Because you are a dickhead, Bruno. Now take these chemicals outside. You can do your experiment in the corridor.
Whatever.
Are you sure you know how to handle plutonium and uranium?
Of course I do. Do I look thick or something?
What are you doing with that equipment, Timmy?
Well, according to the worksheet you provided us with just moments ago, the parameters of what we should be occupying our good selves with today should take the form of a scientific experiment. So I place these tubes and this Bunsen burner under my arm in readiness, sir.
Well, I don't care if you are the brightest bulb in this school. Quite frankly, I don't trust you, Timmy. Now, please put the equipment down till I damn well say that you can touch it.
Is this tube meant for sucking things with?
Goodness gracious, hello, brother! No, Billy, you dunce. That will suffocate your innards. And then I will be sued by your gravestone. Read your damn worksheet, and maybe you will retain some knowledge of what the fuck you are doing.
Perhaps it would be pertinent if I would lend a hand to my fellow classmate here, as it were.
Yes, whatever. Just do it quietly. Now, I want this experiment completed before the end of today's lecture. Graham, also known as the No-Show, has been forced to do this experiment at home, seeing as he has chosen never to grace us with his presence. Now get to work whilst I write some notes on the blackboard and correct my own spelling.
The so-called students of Mr. Dodd's class get to work on their experiments. Not that it matters. Billy takes a test tube and tries to stick it into a Bunsen burner. Not a good idea, if you ask me. And he sticks it in like it's a piece of a jigsaw puzzle. Timmy the nerd takes it off him and completes the experiment himself, whilst Billy sits in a corner and reads a comic book. He reads for half an hour and then he stuffs the comic book back in his trouser pocket and picks up some uranium whilst nobody is looking. It is just after this moment that Mr. Don looks up from his copy of his Daily Mail and notices on the wall clock that his class will soon be over.
Right, my esteemed pupils. We haven't got much time, so put down your experiments and present them to me, please, at the front of the class. If any are incomplete, then I apologise, but I will have to throw them in the bin.
It's me again, the narrator. Mr. Dodd has noticed an experiment at the other side of the class, and it is not the one Timmy has been making.
That is excellent work, Timmy. A fine example of student work completed on a thoroughly scientific afternoon.
Oh, this? I can concoct these structures at any time of my choosing. It is nothing, sir. Truly nothing. Here you go. One for you to put on public visual display as an example of high work, as you understand.
I wasn't talking about that experiment, young man. That is too perfect for a man like me. I can only give you a D-. I was talking about this one.
You can be rest assured that it is not my experiment. This, from what I can ascertain from my eyesight, is the work of Billy. It is just some uranium that's been pushed down a tube.
And it is perfectly simple and does a simple job splendidly. I must say, good work, Billy. I take great pleasure in awarding you an A-star for this. But that's only because that's as high as my grades go. Otherwise, I would have graded you even higher.
But, sir, if you don't mind me surmising, this situation can only be described as preposterous.
Don't be silly, young man. Billy has produced a perfect demonstration of his scientific abilities here.
I made it so it works like this.
Glass explodes uranium. Oh, no,
Oh, dear!
Oh, fuck, my shirt burns!
You stupid little punks! You shouldn't even be allowed to say the word science, let alone practice it in my wretched lab!
Consider yourself expelled until tomorrow. Now you can do over this experiment to make up for the ungodly remains that have scattered themselves across my floor. Now by the time I get my spectacles back on, I want you to be out of their sights.
Whatever.
I'm starting to remember something. Timmy, what have I just remembered?
I am currently at a loss to read your mind at exactly the time you think out your thoughts. But if I was to give you an educated guess, and that is what I am doing, I do so believe, you dispatched Bruno out of the corridor to complete the experiment away from us, the more studious persons of this class.
Oh yes, I wonder how he's doing.
I'm sorry. I was just taking a brief nap. After all, that is the kind of effect that Mr. Dodd has on people. Right, where's my script? God, it must be here somewhere. Here it is! The one with the coffee stain on it. Bruno, meanwhile, is out in the corridor attempting his side of the experiment. He is doing things with exposed uranium that they don't even allow in nuclear power stations. My God, we're in trouble. I don't have a fucking clue! How does that knobhead Mr. Dodd do it? Oh, well, I'll just mix this chemical with this one, and this large one with this one, and... Oh, shit! Is it supposed to do that? Now, in Mr. Field's class...
To be or not to be? That is the question. Now enjoy your weekend, students. I'm sure that you'll have a blast.
Oh, don't worry. I'll fix it later, Patrick. My cousin's a builder. He lives in Heswell.
You always were an incompetent little tosser, Brian.
Outtakes.
God, those fucking students!
Scouts, didn't it? Oh, God.
When you're eating, tell you what, get your crisps.
God, those fucking students!
Hold on.
God, those fucking students, wait!
Dodd and Peach, the shorts.
Put the phone down because I can't bear to look at you. I know we're on a telephone apparatus here, but I'm having a nightmare vision of your face.
Mr. Dodd.
I'm in this series too.
And Mr. Peach.
Episode 4, Training Day. Good morning, students.
Good morning, Brian.
Now I ask with the greatest respect that you face me with your backs turned exactly parallel to the back wall and with your feet facing perpendicular towards the blackboard in front of my person. Do you understand?
No!
Yes.
Good. Then I have a small announcement to make. On Thursday morning, you will not be going to the zoo. That is because the teachers are taking a field trip, so you will be granted the day off. However, you will not be given permission to leave the school premises. Do I make myself clear?
No!
Yes.
During your mandatory day off on Thursday, you will have to attend a bonus English session with a substitute teacher. Now, may I ask for once that you behave, and Bruno, would you please refrain from designing a paper plane that is not intended as an experiment with aeronautics, but rather, in your case, designed solely to hit the teacher's eye retina, which is why I am wearing Specsavers Deluxe glasses in front of your hormone-infested eyes. Do we have an understanding?
No!
Yes.
Good, then we are on the same wavelength, so to scientifically speak.
Dodd, have you told them about Thursday?
Yes, I have spoken of nothing but since I have shuffled myself in here this morning.
Good. Then they know the score then, don't they?
Yes, I believe that the class and I understand each other very well.
Well, that other bullshit is all very well. But if you mention my name...
Why should I do that, Stephen? I thought you were going on the field trip with Field and the other teachers.
No, I'm most certainly not, thanks to bloody Ofsted, who insisted at least one teacher be present during school hours.
So what are you doing come Thursday?
What do you bloody think? Sitting in for your skiving behind in this science shite.
Oh, you're a substitute.
And you didn't tell them?
No, I did not, but you have just told them.
Well, tell them again. That was your job this morning, Dodd. And you're not getting paid just above minimum wage to shirk on your responsibilities as a lowly science teacher. So go on.
You want me to tell them?
Of bloody course.
Pupils, your teacher on Thursday morning will be none other than Mr. Peach, who will be filling in for my skiving behind.
Come to think of it, no, I won't be, actually. Because my brother owes me a favour, so he can come into this kitchen and withstand the heat. The useless Ofsted won't know the difference between us anyway, because we both look like we've been shit out the same behind. In other words, we look more or less exactly the same as each other. But we are not twins. So don't you dare start spreading that rumour around, or else I will be putting you in for a disciplinary for sure. Now, chop chop, back to work.
You heard the man. Get out your textbooks. And I don't care that I've not set any work. You will all do something.
Mr. Dodd.
I'm in this series too.
And Mr. Peach.
Dodd and Peach, written by AJ and voices by AJ, Brian Seal and Daniel Seal.
Characters in this episode do not represent people in real life.
The series was recorded in South Wirral in Cheshire, England. The episodes were edited by Astrid Jones and Daniel Seal and were a Good Laugh and Totally Mad production.
Britain used to make me so proud, but now there are too many British people here.